Matthew chapter 10. And we'd like to do a little study this evening. I think it might help us all, if we'll listen to it, on what it means to bear your cross, take up your cross and follow Jesus. All of us have read that scripture. Well, boy, we need to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But have you ever wondered what that meant? You ever wondered what that meant? What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Let's look at what the Bible says about it first. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38 is your first time here that it's mentioned. And he said this, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." I don't know if you've considered that scripture, but what he is saying was, you're not fit to be around me if you won't take up your cross and follow me. Now my question is this, if it's a requirement for me to take up my cross and follow Jesus, if that's a requirement, then I better find out what it is and do it, right? How are you going to take up your cross and follow the Lord if you don't even know what it is? Mark chapter 10. Mark 10 and verse 21. You see almost the same thing. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go away, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." Now notice that Jesus said all this stuff before these people didn't even know that he was going to die on a cross. He was telling them this stuff. He kept telling them, you got to take up your cross. Wonder what they thought he was talking about. I'm sure there was a lot of people who died on crosses during that day before Jesus died on the cross. But I reckon what was going through their mind, he said, I bet they thought, what in the world does he mean? What do you mean take up a cross and follow him? What has that got to do with following you? Now let's turn to one more, Luke. And look at Luke chapter 9. And I won't have you turn anymore for a few minutes. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23. Now this one explains it just a little better. And that's one reason why I'm thankful that we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What you do is you read them all and compare them with each other. And it gives you more light on what you're trying to study. If anytime you read a parable or a story, make sure you read it in all of the Gospels, if it's in all the Gospels, and you'll see different views of it. Luke 9, and look at verse number 23. Now look at this one, a little bit stronger. "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." My, my, what did Jesus mean? Well, what did he mean? Did he mean for every one of us to go out here and have one of these builders? Little Brother Larry there, he builds them log homes, you know, them log homes like Miss Camby's house. And I don't know if anybody else in here has got one or not, but probably do. But them log, does he mean for every one of us to say, all right, saw me off some logs and make me a good cross and go around carrying that thing all over the place? He said, take up your cross and follow him. We believe the Bible literally, right? Well, did he mean for us all to do that? There ain't none of us doing it. That ain't what he meant. I don't believe that's what he meant. If I thought he meant that, I'd be having some cross on my shoulder and carrying it around if I really thought that's what he meant. Time might come when we have to do that, literally. But it's obvious here what the Lord meant. If you'll stay with me just for a minute, you'll see it. You realize that they said, you know, a cross is a symbol of a curse. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's not a symbol of a blessing. It's a symbol of a curse, really, when you start thinking about it. And the United States government rejected a cross to be put on a postage stamp. You believe that? They'll put every Tom, Dick, and Harry who ever did anything on a postage stamp but rejected the cross. They did not want that cross on there. And the devil hates what happened on that old rugged cross and does not want us to appreciate it. But tonight we're going to talk about our cross that we should bear. If you're saved, you ought to be willing and going and actually doing this thing of bearing your cross. If I ask you a question tonight, I'd say, are you taking up your cross and following the Lord? What would your answer be? Yes, no, or I don't know. Yes, no, or I don't got the foggiest. Yes, no, or I have no idea what it means to take up my cross. Some of you might be doing it without knowing what it is. Some of you might know what it is and not be doing it. And some of you may not have a clue of what it would possibly mean to take up your cross and follow the Lord. And so I want to say, before I say what it is, the best way to do it this is say what it's not by process of elimination. And I want to say, number one, what a cross is not. What a cross is not. And the first thing I'll say about that is a cross, your cross to bear is not a lost husband. I've heard people say, oh, Brother Danny, my husband's mean and he's wicked, but I guess that's just my cross that I have to bear. Now, my heart goes out to every woman that has a mean and wicked lost husband. My heart breaks my heart. I tell you, I have more respect for a woman that lives with a mean man than just about anybody in this world. Buddy, there's some women that took it and took it and took it off an old mean man, and I don't see how they took it all them years. And I got a lot of respect for them and a lot of confidence in them. But I want to tell you, a lost husband who beats you or comes in drunk is not your cross. You say, how do you know? Because lost women have the same thing. There's lost women that have husbands that come in and beat them drunk. Isn't that right? Some of y'all, you're listening to me? That's true, isn't it? Some people that are not saved have a husband that come in and beat them. They can't be bearing the cross. They're not even Christians. They're not following the Lord. They may be lost and wicked as the devil themselves. So you cannot say, well, I've got a lost husband and that's just my cross that I've got to bear. I'll tell you something else. Being poor is not your cross that you have to bear. We got the idea in churches nowadays that, well, I'm just struggling along, Pastor. I can just barely make it from one day to the next. But that's my cross that I have to bear. According to that, the people in Ethiopia and China are bearing their cross better than we Christians are. Because they're much poorer than we are. So, you say, well, I thought that since I was poor and having it rough, that I was bearing my cross. No, there's lost people that are poorer than anybody in here. Lost and on their way to hell. Amen? Anybody got a question on what I've said so far? I'll give you a chance to talk. Anybody? Okay. Being poor is not your cross. Being talked about is not your cross. Being talked about is not your cross. People say, well, everybody talks about me. And everybody talks bad about me and everything. And I'll just bear my cross. And keep going on. Well, according to that, Bill Clinton is bearing his cross. See? Now, he's not bearing his cross. Do you think he's denying himself and daily taking up his cross, following Jesus? And I just use him because, you know, that's just a good illustration. Oh, by the way, I need to say something. What I said here Sunday morning about politicians, I say in general, I had no certain politician in mind. I just wanted to know that. It's kind of spread around town that I blasted a certain politician. I didn't. I didn't. Everybody here heard what I said. Amen. I said a man ought to be willing to answer questions. Whatever man. I don't even know who did, who don't. I ain't even read that little paper. But anyway, just people talking about you is not your cross that you got to bear. Sometimes lost people get talked about. Michael Jackson gets talked about. He's not. OJ's getting talked about. He's not bearing his cross. O.J. Simpson is not denying himself and taking up his cross daily and following Jesus. Now they're all feeling sorry for him because he's not going to get to spend Thanksgiving with his kids. And you know what? You watch TV, and I don't even remember the last time I watched anything on TV except just like a couple of minutes or something. But for you people that watch TV, you watch the news media try their best to to make you feel sorry for him because he can't be the kid. You know, what about mama? What about mama, brother? What about mama? Amen? But anyway, he's getting talked about, but he ain't bearing his cross. Going on a diet is not your cross that you have to bear. I've heard people say, well, Brother Danny, it just takes all I can do to lose a couple of pounds. And I tell you what, I lose it and I gain it back, and I lose it and I gain it back, and I lose it and I gain it. You're like Jim White. Brother Jim White said he'd lost 700 and something pounds. You'll see him here in a couple of weeks when he gets here. He's a pretty big guy. He said he lost 700 and something pounds, but he just don't stay lost. He said he's going to get him some of them before and after pictures like everybody has. He's got plenty of the before pictures, but he can't get no after pictures. But going on a diet is not your cross. You say, I'm just suffering for the Lord. You know, they say it's not a woman's willpower that causes, it's not a woman's willpower that makes her go on a diet. It's her ego. Author Blessed, some of you may remember him. He was kind of a spinoff from the hippie Christians of the 60s and 70s. Went across the country carrying a cross on his shoulder. Many of you, he was in newspapers and remember 8 or 10 years ago. He may still be around. I don't know, but you hear about him every now and then. And I guess he had a pretty good testimony doing that. Got to witness to a lot of people. But he took that scripture literally. I mean, he put a cross on his back and put a set of wheels on the... That's cheating a little bit, I reckon. He put a little set of wheels on the back of it. But, I mean, he carried it farther than up a hill, man. He took that thing from California to New York. But his back wasn't beat and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, that's not what it is. That's not what the Lord meant. You could put a heavy cross on somebody's back and that still wouldn't be taking your cross up and following Jesus. All right? What is it? You say, well, my goodness, if it ain't being poor and it ain't having a lost mate and it ain't being overweight and it ain't being talked about, what in the world is bearing your cross? You'll notice that every one of these things that I just mentioned is something, with the exception of maybe one a little bit, but every one of these things are something that you can't help. You see what I'm saying? You can't help necessarily being in a lower income bracket, or having a lost husband, or a lost wife, or bad health, or a problem. Some of these things are things you can't help. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. According to what Jesus Christ did Himself, when He said, take up your cross and follow Me, He meant something that you choose to do, that you don't have to do, but you choose it and suffer for His name's sake. If you can't help it, that ain't bearing your cross. See? If one of your kids is sick or you're real sick, that you can't help that. But I tell you, brother, if you can take that thing up or lay it down and you deliberately pick it up and carry it, then you're getting somewhere. That's why He said take it up. If you couldn't help it, the world would lay it on you and you'd have to carry it or just drop down one. But He said, take it up. That means you've got a choice. You can't just have a choice to have your husband saved or your wife saved. You can't just have a choice to be rich. You can't just choose to get out of all these other problems you got. But you have got a choice on whether or not you take up your cross. You understand what I'm saying? You got a choice. It's something that you have a choice. I think in my life, I could tell you, and I wouldn't even want to talk about it. But I, over the years, I can see where every day of my life, I used to couldn't see this clear as I can now, but I can see now. You know, I'm getting old, man. I've been pastoring over 17 years. And little by little by little, I'm starting to see things from this side rather than just looking forward. And I can see now where I have had a choice to take up my cross and follow the Lord. Or I could have just slid out the easy way and said, nah, I'm saved. I'm just going to slide by and do what I got to do and kind of let the world go to hell or do whatever I want to do. Or I've got a choice. Am I going to make it hard on myself and pick up my cross? Or am I just going to slide around the edge and make it easy for myself? Somebody said it's like this. You know what your cross is? It's when your will runs one way and God's will runs the other way. at your cross. And you deliberately, of your own free will, make yourself do what God wants you to do. Your cross is not, it don't come natural. It's not something that your flesh likes. It's something that you make your flesh do for the glory of God, even though you don't like to do it. That is not popular in this modern generation of Christianity. The modern generation of Christianity is name it, claim it, gab it, grab it. You tell God what to do. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He'll do this, He'll do that. He wants us to prosper, never be sick, all drive a Cadillac, I'll never have any problems. That's the God of this modern generation of Christians. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is suffering, brother. Suffering. Suffering. And you'll never, ever, ever, that ain't popular. That's not going to go over. But listen, you're the Wednesday night crowd. You're the ones that's supposed to be the backbone that love the Lord. You, everybody here ought to be willing to say, hey, Jesus done so much for me. I'm willing to get under the load, put my shoulder up under that thing, and carry my cross for the glory of God. It's not fun always. It's according to Jesus Christ, it's this. According to Jesus Christ, this is your cross. Father, I would that this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he put it on his shoulder and walked up the hill. Now, when you come to that point in your life where you're saying, Lord, boy, I'd really rather not do this, and I wish it didn't have to be this way, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When you can pray, not my will, but thine be done, and mean it, brother, you're where you ought to be with God. Let me ask you a question. Can you sincerely get down on your knees here tonight and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life is fine. Can you say that? Whatever you want to do in my family is your business. I'm taking my hands off. God, whatever you do in my life and my family, buddy, that's a mouthful. It's easy to say, Lord, I want your will to be done. But do you mean it? Do you mean it? Do you mean it? Somebody told my wife the other night, you know, when I was building up to announcing about school, you know, and I said, well, I got something to tell you. I got something. And everybody was sitting there saying, uh-oh, wonder what it is. Somebody told my wife, they said, I thought Brother Danny has surrendered to go to the mission field, and he's leaving to go to the mission. And I guess, you know, I got to think about that. I thought, boy, what if the Lord was telling me to go to the mission field? I mean, he could do it. You say, oh, he wouldn't tell you that, Brother Danny. Yes, sir, he could, too. What if he tells me to go to Africa? What if he tells me to go to Kenya, you know, Ethiopia, or China, or Russia, or Japan, or somewhere, are willing to do it? Really, really. I mean, could we get down and say, not my will, but thine be done? And I'm not trying to heap a guilt trip on you. You know, you've got to determine whether it's just, you've got to be willing. All I'm saying is you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing. What is your cross? It's something that you do not have to do, but you do it for others and the Lord. That's what your cross is. It's something that you got a choice in. You don't have to do it, but you do it because you love the Lord and you love other people. Most people want the easy way out. Most people want the best of both worlds. It's doing what you do not have to do. They ain't spit on us. They ain't put a crown of thorns on our head. They ain't slapped us. They ain't whipped us with a scourge. We just need to stay with it. All right, now let me say thirdly tonight, how do you take up your cross and follow Jesus? Here's how to do it, and I'll be through. Here's how to do it. Well, you got to yield yourself. Like these young people, like some of these parents, and some of you that pray every day, you got to continually yield yourself to the Lord. Brother Bruce, I notice a lot of times when I come up here in the morning or something like that, sometimes I've come in on him or called up here, he'll be up there in his office just praying before the day starts. By the way, that's the best time to take up your cross in the morning. Don't run around all day and then say, all right, I'm going to take up my cross and go to bed, and then go to bed. Pick that thing up in the morning. Pick it up in the morning. Don't wait till you backslide all day long and then grab it and lay down and go to sleep. They said that Adoniram Judson, who was a missionary to Burma, in 7 years he suffered hunger and privation. He was mistreated. He had scars. And he wanted to enter into another province, another part of the country. And the ruler looked at him and he said, "These people are heathen over here where you're going, man." He said, "These people are heathen." And he said, "They ain't going to listen to a word you say, but I'm afraid they'll be impressed by your scars." He said, "You go in there and tell them you got a new God and they got the wrong God. They ain't going to listen to a word you say. But," he said, "when they see them scars, they're going to know that you've got something that you've suffered for." And I believe tonight that one of the greatest testimonies that a Christian can have is when they see you suffer and go through a trial, and brother, you just keep living for the Lord through that thing. People look at that, man. People look at it. And by the way, that's one reason why God don't always do what we want Him to. That's one reason why you don't always get healed when you get sick. That's one reason why you don't, why your family troubles. People say, "Well, I'm serving God. Why don't He straighten out all my problems?" Because sometimes God lets you go through burdens and problems so when this world looks at you, they see them scars, brother. And when they see them scars, they say, "Whoa, he didn't have to go through that. She didn't have to suffer that, but she stayed in there not because it was fun. She must have something bigger than what, you know, the average person has." And they see you take up your cross and follow the Lord like that. Man, you've heard me tell, I picked up an old drunk out here on the street one day. I took him down, going down East Court Street, and I began to talk to him. And, you know, when I pick them guys up, I tell you, you can't hardly stand the smell. And first thing I do is I crack the windows a little bit. And, you know, in the car, you can put it, mash a little button, and it lets fresh air in from the outside. Or you mash another little button, it's recirculate. Well, I mash the button, it brings in fresh air. And then I turn the vents right between me and him. I've done this before. Where they'll blow right between, so when he talks to me, it blows his breath in the back seat. Because I'm telling you, man, there ain't nothing that smells worse than beer and sweat. Beer and sweat mixed together with no food and bad breath for a couple of days will knock a horse off his feet. I'm telling you, you can't stand it. It's sickening. And so I turn the fan on, you know, and blow his breath. I pick some old guy up. I was going down East Court Street. And I started talking to him. He said, "How's your church going?" I said, "Real good." I said, "But your seat's empty. How come you ain't been coming?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you. If I ever decide to go, that'll be the church I go to right there at your church, Danny." And I said, "Well, good. I'm proud of you." He said, "You know, I don't go." He said, "But I watched you people. You've been through a lot up there, ain't you?" And that was back, you know, we was having a lot of trouble and everything. He's on TV and on the news, you know, and everything. He said, "You've really been through a lot up there, ain't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "If I ever go, that's where I'll go." And all that. And buddy, I tell you what, when he got out of the car, that blessed my heart. I thought, man, I'd rather have that compliment from that old drunk than I had to meet some of these, my fellow pastor brethren uptown. And them say, "Hi, Danny, how's it going? I hate your guts." You know, that's what they really mean. I appreciated that compliment from that old drunk. I really did. I really did. I appreciate it. You know what? That old boy don't even come here to church. He might have come a time or two, but he's watched us as he went up and down this street. And he sees our scars. And it's impressed him. You see, the Christian life's not always a breeze. You young people, they're not all going to brag on you when you come back from camp and tell them you got on fire for God. You found that out, ain't you? You found that out. Son, they're going to give you some scars for what you're doing every day when you carry that Bible in that school, when you witness, when you give out them grace. You're doing something you don't have to do. Really, you are. You're doing something you don't have to do. There is reproach. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers on earth. I believe Charles Spurgeon said that. And let me close here with a verse of Scripture in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And let's look at verse 17, I believe, somewhere along in there. John 19:17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus, either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And there's where Jesus carried that thing all the way to his death. He didn't carry it a little while and say, come home one day and say, Mama, they make fun of me, and throw it down. I mean, he didn't carry his Bible to school about 3 or 4 weeks and give out a few tracts and then come and say, I ain't doing that no more because they laughed at me on the bus. He didn't take that Bible to work and lay it on that bench or on there and try to witness and put up camp meeting flyers and let them see him praying over his meal and all that and then quit when somebody talked about it. He took it all the way to Golgotha and finished it. Said it's finished. I hope and pray that every one of us just grit your teeth, take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you have settled down to the point where your Christian life just comes easy for you all the time, you're ducking your responsibility. You need to be involved in something. If it's fasting, if it's praying, if it's just coming out tomorrow night and maybe getting Brother Brooke, getting a partner and knocking on somebody's door, just do something that your flesh don't want to do and bear that cross and you watch the Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Say, preacher, Brother Danny, God's done so much for me that I really, really sincerely would like to bear my cross. Maybe it's just pray extra. Really, really get down to business and pray. And pray God in on this camp meeting. Pray the power of God down, conviction, and pray for people, just really have a prayer ministry in the next few weeks. I don't know. Whatever it is, you just feel like God wants you to do. And your flesh don't want to do it. But you're just willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Just say, pray for me that I'll do it. Just slip up your hand, take it right back down. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help every single person here. Lord, we don't know the need of every heart. I don't even know my own need. But I'm glad and thankful that you do. Pray now, Father, that you'd bless every person here. You saw the hands that were lifted. And help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. And we leave here tonight, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. In his blessed, wonderful, holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.